Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from William Price Distilling Company, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Show starts right now as Big G, Greg's in the house to join Dr. Dre and all of our loyal listeners as we continue to roll on. The Vega, it used to be a car back in the day. It was a really bad, small car.
Vega. They make them into sleepers and rat rods and stuff like that. But Gregory Vega, the first time I've met him in person, he's obviously a guy that interacts with us on Twitch and on Twitter. But shout out to Gregory Vega for coming out to William Price Distilling.
Boys got themselves some prizes for hour number one. We're giving away things on the hour every hour from William Price Distilling, as well as from our promo team. Claire is here, and she will not punch herself in the face today. She's guaranteed it because we have back-to-back days. We're going to be out on the summer circuit, so you guys need to be here,
too.
Oh,
we're bringing that up, huh?
What?
Her getting punched in the face or punching herself in the face.
Did it happen?
It did happen.
I wish I saw it, but apparently it happened.
I think it happened.
But, yeah. I know it happened.
You saw it. Yeah, you're the one who saw it. That's right.
Claire verified it. She came back later to verify she didn't need medical attention or they wouldn't give her any at the 24-hour emergency care after she threw an amazing right hook on herself. So we want to guys remind you, the Culture Map Tastemaker Awards are back. We had a great time with them last year. It celebrates the top talent in Houston's restaurant and bar communities. July 22nd at the awesome Silver Street Studios, our signature in-person tasting event and award ceremony. You can come celebrate all of the nominees like Restaurant of the Year, Bar of the Year, Best Neighborhood Restaurant, and more. They're going to unveil the 2021 winners. You get a chance to sample all the bites and sip the specialty drinks along the way. Get the VIP and GA tickets now. Houston.culturemaptastemakers.com. Check it out. And by the way, tomorrow we're at Richmond Arms on another road show, as we mentioned. So if you can't make it today, boxers, head on out tomorrow. Same kind of stuff, different location tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It feels great to be back to normal operation, or at least close to it for the most part. I feel good about it. Looking forward to going to a game, catching a fight. Feels great.
I would totally agree with all of that.
Shout out to Melissa.
Melissa's taking great care of us.
Amazing care of us. Thank you so much.
We mentioned Astros a lot because of the fact that obviously they're in the midst of a now double-digit win streak. It got to 10 last night. They're doing what they needed to do, taking care of the teams that aren't so good after really competing with the teams that are. They were sixth in the ESPN power rankings a week ago, Nicholas. Would you like to take a gander and a guess at where they are now?
Two.
Yes.
Oh, really? I didn't even see it.
USA Today, they're one. Here on ESPN, maybe because Jeff Passan writes for them, they are two. Because the San Francisco Giants, Charlie Pulillo's favorite team, is 48-26. Your Astros, 46-28. So, Giants one, Astros two, and then the rest of the top five. Dodgers at three, even though they got swept by the Padres. White Sox at four, even though they got swept by the Astros. And Padres at five.
Man, what's up with the Giants all of a sudden?
It's a Cinderella season for the Giants, but my thing is, just look at all, if you're simply basing the Giants on it's unexpected and they have the best record in baseball right now, but
it's
if you look at who the Astros just got done playing, where their offense ranks, where their starting pitching ranks, all those things being said, I can make an argument for your Astros to be number one, but I'm fine with it for now as Giants one, Astros two.
Yeah, look, I'm okay with it too right now. And look, I guess he's using the bullpen against them, considering. And they've got some great pitching on that Giants roster that I think has been massive contributors to the fact that they have the best record in the league. I think Lamonte Wade Jr. is a guy that's been a great addition. I believe they're 15-4 this year with him in the game.
They got 10 shutouts from their pitching staff, and their bullpen is fantastic. I mean, Anthony Desclafani has a 1 ERA in 27 innings this month. Boy, I wish that freaking Brandon Belak did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, if you can keep him, if you can keep Belak in for a full inning, maybe even two, which I doubt, without him just destroying things, in a situation where the bats are not doing well and they're not giving you this comfortable cushion, I'm okay with it. But I don't know if you can put him in a situation where they don't have a dominant lead in terms of runs and it's like the seventh, eighth inning, and you can keep him in there for an entire inning and two without him absolutely destroying the situation.
It would be a totally different story if this team didn't have the run differential that it has as a baseball team, because they're outscoring teams basically 2-1. They are annihilating them offensively and ripping the cover off the baseball. If this was a team that the offense was not as good as it is, if they weren't scoring the runs like they were, this bullpen would be an even bigger story,
yeah.
And this team wouldn't be sitting in first place right now with the second-best record in baseball. The Astros are 17-4 this month, and they're outscoring their opponents by the 2-1 margin. They have out-hit their opponents 303-199.
Crazy.
That means your starting pitching is getting it done. They're calling them baseball's hottest team. They're telling the world in reading this top 20, whatever, top list. They're calling them, they're poised for an epic month. But guess what? They're number two. Okay, I'll take it for now.
I guess because the White Sox got swept by the Astros, that's why they're not in the discussion as the hottest team. I guess they're in the discussion or the conversation, but they're not the hottest team, I guess, right now. But the White Sox actually lost to a game opponent. You know what I mean? They lost to the Houston Astros, which their offense, they're just absolutely insane. So, I don't know. I mean, they're a fun little team to watch, too. I mean, who's your like top five teams, and just in terms of fun to watch, not whether or not you think, because I think it has to be, I mean, obviously the Sox got swept, but you still put them in there because of their record, I think. Sox, Giants, Padres.
I don't really watch
Dodgers.
The Giants. I don't, because I didn't expect them to do anything, and I don't expect them to do it come the end of the season. But I'm like you. If I'm not watching the Astros, who I watch every night, and they're my favorite team, I'm watching the Padres because I enjoy that ball club. Yeah. I enjoy the gamesmanship and all the antics of Tatis Jr. And I'm not a big Machado guy, but I like the fact that from the uniforms to the way they go about their business, it isn't they went for it and they continue to go for it, and they're reaping the benefits of that. So I like that. I think that if you're talking to me about the top five teams in baseball, right, as
just
I see them,
fun to watch. I mean,
I know that the best team money can buy right now is the Dodgers. And so I'm always keeping an eye on them because I know at some point that's going to be a team that either the Astros are going to see or that the playoffs are going to see. So I say Padres, Dodgers, Astros, but not in that order. Astros and then the other two. And then if I was to throw two more teams in there, they said that on the broadcast that the scouts were there to see a potential ALCS matchup between the Sox and the Astros. White Sox have a good combination. They got really good starting pitching, great young talent. They got to be in the mix. They're fun to watch. I think Tony La Russa might hurt them because I think the game's passed it by a little bit.
Not a fan of Machado, huh? I mean, I'll tell you what. He was hustling his ass off yesterday.
He's a D-bag with the stuff that he's done. It's kind of like we talked about with Patrick Beverly. When you're stepping on ex-teammates' back of their feet in playoff games at first base, and you know the way you're sliding and the way you can do what you do at the plate, but if someone tries to show you up, you get pissed. It's old and tired what Manny Machado does. If I had to pick a fifth team, I mean, because of the rivalry, I'm always going to see what the Yankees are doing. I want them to lose. I watch because I want the Yankees to lose every time I watch them.
Yeah, I don't mind. I love seeing the Yankees and the Dodgers lose. That's why it was great to see the Padres sweep them of all teams, because my boy Tatis is on that team, as you know. But
yep.
No, I mean, there's been some fun baseball to watch going into the All-Star break. Well, how far are we from the All-Star break?
It's coming in about 2-3 weeks. Because the Astros finished the stretch at Detroit, the Orioles at home. Then they got two
July 13th.
They got a couple of big series after that. A's and I want to say, I forget the other team, but yeah, then they go right into the break. So
speaking of the A's, they lost again yesterday too, right? Yeah. No,
yeah.
They won.
No, they won.
Oh, no, they're playing right now. They're playing right now against
Rangers. The Rangers have done the Astros a few favors because it's allowed the Astros, by beating the A's, the Rangers have allowed the Astros to capitalize on winning and get back in first place.
Yeah. So good. That's some good news too. So, I mean, look, the Astros still have a chance. What you've been harping on, I can't agree with more. In terms of James Click, and making the proper moves to address the bullpen issues and making sure that they have enough depth going into the postseason in terms of pitching. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say that they don't have issues with their bats. Their fielding is pretty good, with an exception of a few situations, I think, or one or two situations, I think, that they could address. But for the most part, I mean, you got to love this Astros squad, man.
And is it shocking to you that Rob Manfred likes the way it's going right now with the sticky checking of pitchers situation in baseball?
I mean, he's going to have to make it sound positive some way. I mean, if they're going to take the initiative and make it seem like they're going to crack down on all this stuff, he's going to have to at some point address the media and talk about some sort of positive that came out of their approach with the whole sticky stuff situation. You know he's going to do that.
And he's got it. Because his quote was, "My view on how the first couple days have gone is it's gone well. We had no ejections for foreign substances. Players in general have been extremely cooperative. The inspections have taken place quickly." Have they, though? "And between innings. But frankly, the data suggests we're making progress with respect to the lower spin rates, and it caused us to undertake the effort in the first place. The fact that spin rates have gone down is the reason why he says this was the right thing to do, when they did it, how they did it."
There was a particular analyst that I saw on Twitter that said, it's one thing to use rosin and sunscreen and all this other stuff, but what they've been doing recently, like with the spider tech and mm-hmm. stuff like that, that's taking it to another level, and it has an unfair advantage. In your mind, you think spider tack, if you had it with you right now, would give you more of an advantage than what they've already been doing?
Well, I'm on record saying that I could never throw with anything sticky. I didn't like it. But if it's a pitch, you think about this. If Garrett Cole's been doing it for the last couple of years and suddenly you take it away from him, it's going to make a difference, because mentally you're going to feel like, now I'm not going to have the control that I had. Now I'm not going to have the spin rate that I had, whether that's true or not. And I mentioned Bauer last night, his MPH on his fastball was up in the high 90s to show that he hadn't lost anything there. It's a control thing, and it's also a mental thing. But I think that I would equate spider tack to the levels that people got offended by the levels to the way the Astros cheated. It's one thing to say you were stealing signs because you figured out what the indicator was and you figured out how to relay the message. But it's another thing to say you used monitors and computers in a video room and, you know, you had tendencies of each team's signs.
Yeah.
That's using technology to take it a step too far. I think technology is the scientific whatever it took to make spider tack, and how it equates to Major League pitchers getting such an advantage over it. That's where I can see the comparison. That's where I can see that people will be really pissed off.
We'll see where the end game is. I'm going to be interested to see how many injuries that everybody's so afraid of, like Garrett Cole and company. And there have been other Glasnow was the other pitcher that was talking about it. I'm going to be very interested to see whether or not the second portion of the season, or maybe even the beginning of next season, where you'll see more injuries. But it's kind of on them too, Joel, because if you know that it's cheating and it's illegal, I think a part of you should be like, you know what? I should mix it up every now and then and not just be so dependent on this particular substance in the event they start cracking down on this, particularly after the Astros scandal. I mean, they have to be looking for cheating more closely now that there's more reports and stuff like that.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're in hour number two of the three-hour program. Lots more to get to, including you. So hang with us. Be the boxers that you are, and participate if you got something on your mind you want to get off your chest. We're here for you. It's Nick and Joel from William Price Distilling in the Garden Oaks area. Very, very cool spot. We're going to be here till 4. Blitz going to be here till 7. ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from William Price Distilling Company. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back rolling through our number 2 3-hour program. We call it the Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM, coming to you live from William Price Distilling. We've been telling you all day how great a place this is. They have a tasting room. It's inside, outside. It's in the Garden Oaks area. The address is 970 Wakefield Drive, but you just come down Shepherd. You take a left on 38th. You take it straight down. You can't miss it. It's phenomenal. The people are great. They take good care of us. They'll take good care of you. Lots of our loyals are here. Promotional team is here. But really cool, from the coffee liqueur to the fact that they make all of the spirits on premise. It's a very, very great, interesting concept, Nicholas, and we're going to give you guys a little bit more info.
And now we've got Brian Clary here of William Price Distilling. You and Zach own the spot. It's been open about 3 months, and you just told me before we got out of break that it used to be a diesel mechanic shop. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was a diesel engine mechanic shop, so they'd bring fire trucks, dump trucks, all kind of trucks in, and drop the engine out and repair them and put them back in.
What made you get into the business, man?
Because I hated working for other people and I like booze.
Yeah, that's two very good reasons.
And it's one thing to say, well, I'm going to go open up a bar, but you actually opened up the distillery so that you actually make what you serve. And I think that's really awesome, because I think some of the ideas and some of the things that we've heard you guys have coming up in terms of actually making different versions of the spirits and letting the people kind of take part in it are some great things that you need to tell the people about.
Yeah, so we're working on a couple different small projects right now. We got a limoncello that we're going to come out in August, and we need help on July 1st. So if anyone wants to come down, peel some lemons, they'll get a 375-milliliter bottle of limoncello in 6 weeks after that when it comes out. The other things we got a honey barrel coming out. It actually sat in – we had a rye that came out. We gave that rye barrel to Beehive Honey. They put honey in it. They took the honey out, and then we put rye back in it. So we're going to give out a gift basket at the end here with the honey as well as the rye that sat in the honey. The next thing's coming out is a barrel that aged in French oak. And then the next thing that's coming out is we got rum and gin coming out too. So we got some Jamaican rum coming in. And we have some rum that's macerated on site. So we don't make everything on site.
Okay, but the majority of it?
We do put our hands on it. So we're not just getting something in, bottling it. We're putting our hands on it. We're blending it here. We're making our own spin on things.
So two new releases that are not even out yet. But expand a little bit on the whole lemon peel thing. So if you come out and volunteer, peel lemons, what do you get?
What did Melissa say? How many pound or how many lemons you have
to
peel?
So we're going through, I think, 700 lemons that need to get peeled for about 200 bottles.
Okay.
It's 200 full-size bottles. So we're going to actually have about 400 half-size bottles that will come out. So if you come, you peel lemons on July 1st at 5:30, you'll get a bottle then, and you'll actually be able to customize the sweetness level when you get your bottle.
I think that's a wonderful idea. Cool. That's really creative. I would totally do something like that. Not only that, I just realized that in 2020, delayed opening for a year to make hand sanitizer and only employed furloughed bartenders. That's pretty cool. How long did that last?
So that lasted through the fall. We actually got our hand sanitizer and HEB, so every HEB is holding our hand sanitizer project. So we added scent into it, which is white peach and jasmine and lavender and sandalwood and citrus, so ours doesn't smell
like
alcohol.
Tequila?
Yeah. It originally did. Like, that's what got us over the hump and got people what they needed. So we were sitting on our laurels waiting for some cash to come in and the construction to start, and we were like, we can go make hand sanitizer. We have the money to do it. We need staff to do it, so we just went out to our bartender friends and was like, hey, send us as many people as possible. So we had up to like 30 bartenders who were working for us when they were out of job and we needed people and people needed hand sanitizer. We put all that
together.
That's
so awesome.
He wants to participate in the yoga. When is that? Is that 6 p.m.?
That's 6 p.m. I got my stuff.
You do it outside?
You do yoga too?
I do it.
Is it on
there.
The volleyball court or just outside?
Volleyball's next door, but it's right under those sun sails.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so it's Move Yoga. They come in every Thursday at 6 o'clock. You go sign up with them, and you can come out and do it for free.
Nick is big on banana hammocks and leg warmers.
Yeah.
So whatever he can do. Talk a little bit. What you had the concept of what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Do you have ties to why you picked here? I know it's kind of a hot area. It's a popping area in Garden Oaks. But at the same time, I love the concept. It looks like you've got artists that are displaying some artwork on the walls. And I like the inside-outside concept.
Yeah, so this is actually the third spot we ended up picking. And the first two fell through. We were looking at Edo first. But okay. We fell in love with the neighborhood when this spot came up. We got two breweries on the street, a coffee roaster on the street, and a winery on the street. Our coffee liqueur comes from the coffee roaster, too. So it's all just big neighborhood feel. Most of our patrons right now are just neighborhood people walking through.
And don't you like that for the longevity of a place? Because we talk about all the time, a lot of the spots that open up downtown, midtown, their life expectancy is 8 months to maybe a year or two. But when you get in with the locals, when you create that bond with the locals, the residents, you have a lot more success.
So I always joke that we wanted a destination distillery, and you haven't seen the full part of it yet, but the whole idea is to come in, be wowed, and want to come back. Every time you see the bottle, you want to purchase the bottle, and you want to be connected to us, be a part of a lifestyle brand, right? So we have our stills coming in early July, and they are 8 feet wide, 19 feet tall, all copper, and they're going to sit right behind the bar. And that's the experience that I got when I was 8 years old, when my parents took me to a distillery in Scotland. So my dad's military, so I traveled the world a lot. I was born in England, went back there as a little kid. So 7, 8, 9, I went up to Glenfiddich Distilling, had that great experience. And even as an eight-year-old, I could recognize a bottle, knew what it was. So a whole time growing up, I'm like, that's what it is. I had a good experience, that seed inception, just connection to the brand. So that's
well, that makes sense. I mean, if you were doing it at 7, 8, 9, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, you're probably destined to do something like this. And you got a really cool spot. I like the bar area, man. I like the samples. I love the coffee liqueur. What is your favorite in terms of the liqueurs that you got?
So right now we just have the coffee liqueur, but again, the limoncello is coming out, and we got a plan for some Southern-style liqueurs. We got some good people working on some things.
Nice.
But I assume that, and we have a lot of dealings with, like, the different breweries and the car box and things like that, where they'll create certain brews or things. Is your goal then year to year to be adding and offering more of the on-premise made or similar types?
Yeah, so one of the big things with the TABC is that every alcohol that we serve on-site, we have to make on-site or macerate or put our hands on. So I can't go buy vermouth off the shelf. I have to make it myself. Wow. So all these high-end cocktails that have, like a sweet vermouth or something, I have to find a way to do a sweet vermouth. So we're working on plans to get all the right things into the cocktails to have an elevated cocktail.
It's kind of a good and a bad thing. It's good. I guess it makes you work more, but at the same thing, I think it ups the quality that it forces you to make your own vermouth. Like, I mean, I think that's a big plus.
It ups the quality, and we're not quite there yet on that part, which is why you won't see a Manhattan on the menu right now, but we hope to get there. So even with the gin, we're making gin. We have a person with us who's a PhD chemist. She's sitting right around the corner. She's been working on gin for about 9 months for us. So
wow. I mean, this is an art to them. This is an art to them, and this is why you should come out. This is why you should come out.
So the other thing we're all about supporting our bartenders, and we're all about sharing drinks with friends. So even going back to William Price, the man, he is my fourth great-grandfather. He's the first of my business partner's family to move to Texas, and he owned a liquor store in New Salem, Illinois. And so, this is what I was destined to do, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the funny thing about him is that he actually bet $10 his cousin would beat Abraham Lincoln in a wrestling match.
Really?
And the Clary family cheated, so it was a draw.
Nice.
That's awesome, dude. A lot of history, man. We appreciate it, man. Thanks for hopping on. So you've been officially open for 3 months.
Yep.
Any other big plans that we missed? Any other bullet points that we missed that maybe we should inform the audience about?
I would just say go look for us out on the shelf. We're in Specs. We're in Tony K's right now. We're looking to get into other places. And we got our rye in a couple different bars and restaurants around town, about 20 right now. We're looking to get our vodka and our coffee liqueur into this.
Well, we always talk about keep it local. It does get more local than this. And there's no better place than a place like this to come out, support, and make it your local watering hole, because these are great people doing some great things here. And you guys need to stop by. And don't take my word for it. Sample some of the product and hang out with some of the people, because it's a great environment. You've done a great job, man.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Really appreciate it, dude.
Well, thanks a lot. We're happy to have you guys out here.
Appreciate it. There you go. All right, we're going to continue to roll on with the second half of the show. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Lots more to talk about as we get to the second half of the program. Something on your mind you want to get off your chest, join us, 713-780-3776 for calls and texts. Otherwise, it's Twitch and Twitter. It is the Press Box. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
That.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from William Price Distilling Company. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, still spots available for to join Nick for yoga tonight at 6 o'clock outside, where we don't need to raise the temperature on the thermostat. It's hot out there. It's also a little humid, so you can sweat it out and then put it back in when you come in here and drink the spirits at William Price Distilling. I know Fred and AJ and the Blitz are going to love this. It is a great environment. Dr. Dre is finally covering up the glaze on that dome piece. Big Clarence is in the building. We love to see that. Greg Vega is here. Unfortunately, he has a favorite football team, but other than that, we'd love to see him. We'd love to see you, too. So
he called you fat, which is why I love Gregory. He's a fantastic listener. He can chime in anytime.
He called me?
Yeah. You didn't hear it? Oh, that's the best part. You didn't hear it. That's why you're still nice to him. Now he's you're mean mugging him now.
You called me? He said you called me fat. Dr. Dre has goatees on all three of his chins. Whatever that Fu Man thing he's got going on there, I mean, let's keep it real. All right, so we can keep real. You guys can come in here and see us. Have a good time. We love this place. It's new. You guys should check it out. You should make it your local watering hole as we continue to talk about the news of the day and everything that's been going on. In terms of the Astros, we know where they're going. We know that from the perspective of, we covered the one series. Tonight, Clippers and Suns go to L.A. to Staples Center.
Another good game. Look,
Kawhi's still out. Chris Paul officially back in.
Does that hurt the Suns a little bit?
I thought about that. I don't think so, because he's a leader, and he also, his ego has kind of been put aside now to where he doesn't have to, like, score and do it all. He just needs to make sure they're playing a certain way. But, I mean, the contributions that they were getting while he was out
were pretty damn good.
Were very good.
Now, I think over the course, like in the long haul, they definitely are a better team with Chris Paul in the lineup. I just think the protocol absolutely hurts him. I imagine, because it's not injury-based, that he was keeping himself in game shape as much as possible. He's going up and down in practice.
I hope so.
He's a disciplined dude. But still, it's nothing like the real thing, particularly because the intensity goes up in the postseason. So it's not like he's going to be completely out of shape, but I think he's going to be slightly out of shape. I mean, slightly.
I think the bigger thing
game
is
shape.
Cameron Payne, who's always been an afterthought, was a stud last game.
Oh, he was great.
So now does Cameron Payne go into the game with a little bit of, all right, I got to tone it down a notch. I got to take
it back.
Yeah, he
will.
And do you lose something there? Because his aggressiveness on both ends was one thing. His ability to score was part of it too. But his confidence, you could see it rise. And every time someone got in his face, he didn't back down.
No.
He brought it back at him. Will he do the same when Chris Paul's back on the floor?
Here's the difference between Chris Paul being on the Suns team and then Chris Paul being on the Rockets team. Pretty much everybody on that Suns squad respects him. And if you look at the way Chris Paul has been communicating with Cameron Payne throughout the regular season and in the postseason, he definitely respects him, and he takes a lot of direction from Chris Paul. I would assume that starts right back up again. Now, I can see him feeling a little bit about himself right now because of the performance that he had, particularly in the second half, scoring all those points. But I think everybody on that squad knows who really runs the offense. I think it will go back. There might be some rustiness just because he was out of two playoff games, and even though it's not a long amount of days and time missing, you know, out from basketball, I still think it impacts him a little bit. I think they'll be all right. I think if Chris Paul comes back, it doesn't like put a monkey wrench in the situation and like throws him off or anything. So
here's where I would agree with you the most. You can have the respect of everybody else, but if you know, from a Rockets perspective, let's be honest, James Harden is where it all started and ended. I mean,
right.
Well,
Devin Booker's the other star on this team that respects him.
That's where I was going. And on the flip side, easily the best player on the Suns is Devin Booker, and you can tell from the way they play together to the sound bites you get from Devin Booker that he was the guy with the phone doing the FaceTiming with Chris Paul after each game. So you know that there is no kind of turmoil like there was here.
There's no
with
competition.
Chris Paul.
There's none of that.
And what I like more than anything else is he shouldn't have had to have done this, but he did it. He proved himself one more time, because everybody thought he was washed up, done, and had a massive salary because of what happened in Houston. He resurrected it in OKC and did what they didn't think could be done. And now he's taken another team and taken them to another level. And it also includes something he had never done, which is get to a Western Conference Finals with a chance to win a championship and be up 2-0 like he's doing right now. So I think that those are all massive accomplishments for Chris Paul that a lot of people didn't think he had left in him.
No, they didn't. And reputation-wise, not only is he getting the respect as a player now? Because honestly, even I was giving him the injury prone label, and honestly, it's still there. But just because he does get hurt doesn't mean he's not effective for most of the regular season and in the postseason. So if he stays healthy for the remainder of the postseason,
it's a big if.
Reputation wise, though, I mean, even if he loses, even if he doesn't get the chip, he's still going to be respected
the point
big
God.
Time. And if there's any truth to the reports about him turning down that player option, then he's really going to look good.
Yeah, and you know what? I get it. He was with the Rockets when they were a hamstring away, so they got to the Western Conference pinnacle. But he's never won a conference title. He's never won an NBA title. And it's as you said, based on the point God, G-A-W-D, but they always call him the point God, that this is a guy that is only lacking one thing, a couple things on his resume, and that is a conference championship and then an NBA title and a finals appearance. These are the kind of things that are stacking up for him. The interesting thing's going to be that I was thinking about on the way here today. If they win it, or if they get there, does he have the confidence to say, I'm coming back and I'm going to finish what I started here? Or, like I said to you, that I thought if he opts out, what he's going to do is, still has the house in L.A., LeBron's my best friend, they need a point guard, Dennis Schroeder could go away, maybe I join the Lakers super team, and that's how I get my ring. He will be more respected in my mind if he does what he continues to do with Phoenix, but I'm not going to be mad at him if he goes for it in L.A.
And I was just going to say, I can see the hesitation because I think the majority, or at least a good portion of people out there, would not respect him as much in the event that he wins it all and leaves, but I think people who are objective, people outside the city of Phoenix, people who are perhaps in Houston who still respect Chris Paul for what he did for the Rockets, I don't think they're going to be upset about the situation. I think it's all fair. And look, Kawhi did it. Kawhi won with Toronto and then bounced and went to L.A. So why can't Chris Paul? You know what I mean? And Kawhi, you know, it's funny to me because I feel like Kawhi never gets called out or accused of being a baby despite leaving the Spurs, leaving the Raptors, and not really looking like the Clippers are going to be. I mean, they're obviously in the Western Conference Finals, but no one really expected them to be that team. They were just the top three or four team in the West. No one expected them to go all the way, particularly when Kawhi got hurt. When Kawhi got hurt, no one expected that to happen. So,
well, there's a lot to be proven if you're the Clippers because you've done this in the two previous series. You've gone down 0-2, and then you've found a way to persevere and come back and win. You're playing a much tougher team now. It's a different animal. The stakes are higher. And Paul George continues to be Paul George. For as good as he was down the stretch, as we talked about, if he's going to continue to play off P down his leg in the final free throws, in the final moments when they need him the most,
he's going to get so much hate for that.
And there's no Kawhi to lean on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris are the guys to take you to the promised land.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we talked about fourth quarter performance. And I wonder if there really is something to the fact that the reason why Paul George has better fourth quarters is because Kawhi is injured and not in the game. And it doesn't look like he's going to be back in this series. I don't imagine he'll be back in the next series. But, yeah, I mean, it. Look, the guy for his career, I looked it up, I think he's an 85 or 86% free throw shooter.
86, you said, I think, yeah.
I mean, he missed two free throws in a very, very important part of a playoff game, and no one's going to let him down because he's a star player, and I get that. But for the most part, Paul George is a good free throw shooter, and he's a good free throw shooter in clutch situations. He just completely crapped the bed in that situation.
But how many people, it's interesting to me, how many people were rooting against James Harden? For as many people that were critical of Chris Paul when he left town, it seems like almost every Rockets fan that was a fan when Chris Paul was here is pulling for Chris Paul to win a title.
Yeah, it's probably true because he's just more likable. Let's be honest. I mean, Chris Paul is more of a likable guy. And the way James Harden left, Chris Paul, clearly, it's not like Chris Paul was a situation like, you know what, I don't want to be a part of this team no more. I can't stand James Harden. That wasn't the narrative. Whether it was true or not, that wasn't the narrative. The narrative wasn't Chris Paul hates everybody on this team. The narrative was Chris Paul couldn't get along with James Harden or James Harden couldn't get along with Chris Paul, and they chose Harden over Paul. That was the narrative. As opposed to James Harden, where like, I tried. I did everything for this team, so I'm not going to play anymore. I'm not going to put any effort during the regular season, and I only want to be traded to these three teams.
But isn't it interesting, Nick, that of the three people that will be scrutinized the most during this long winning run that the Rockets had, Chris Paul, James Harden, and Daryl Morey. No one wanted anyone out of town more than they wanted Chris Paul out after the hamstring, and even though they had two great years and set the franchise record for regular season wins and all the things they accomplished. But now, in retrospect, that they're all gone, No one is loved more or rooted for more of the three than Chris Paul. And then it's just a matter of how much hate in your heart do you have for one or both of Harden and Morey. Morey left the cupboard absolutely bare, and Harden left the first chance he got that he knew that there wasn't a chance to win at all.
Yeah, and that's always going to be a bad look and leave a bad taste in the Houston Rockets fan base. It's always gonna do that. And he'll never come back. He'll probably end up being either a net or another player, a player on another team, as opposed to the Houston Rockets for the remainder of his career. So it's not like he's going to ever be a Houston Rocket. So he'll just be hated in this fan base and hated amongst like the players in the league that don't like him. And the Nets will absolutely love him.
I think if they win it, he feels vindicated because he'll have had to have done something in the playoffs and he'll have gotten what he wanted to get when he left. But I think from a Rockets fan perspective, Chris Paul's the one that the Rockets fans will vindicate because he wasn't done. He was more of a factor than people wanted to give him credit for while he was here, and he proved that with what he did in OKC and Phoenix, and he proved that, like you said, he's also a really good dude that didn't want to leave, that really liked his time in Houston, that appreciated the fact that they were winning and doing things a certain way, and yet he was shown the door.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I don't know what teams he left where he was upset with. I guess the Rockets and the Clippers are the two teams that you can count. I don't know. The Pelicans is a different story. I think the Suns that respect him. I think everybody at OKC respects him, despite him leaving. So, So good for Chris Paul. It's gonna be interesting to see what he does. And look, him being an addition to the Lakers, man. Look, he certainly would have helped if Anthony Davis was out, and you had a 75-85% LeBron James, because that would have relieved so much pressure off of LeBron. As long as Chris Paul was healthy, but I don't know what you would have done with Schroeder in that case, but. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he ends up in L.A. I don't know. But I think you're right. In the event that the Phoenix Suns win the championship, it does make him consider more about where he wants to go or where he might go. You know what I mean? Because he might be more forced or more
I'm happy for a
committed
guy just
to Phoenix.
Because people gave up on him, and he's proven that he still had plenty to give. So that's why I'm pulling
the right people didn't give up on him. They knew he was a good player.
All right, we'll continue to roll on with the second hour of the program. We've got all the way until 4 o'clock, and then it's not over there because the Blitz takes it over and goes all the way till 7. You guys got to check this place out. It's awesome. The people are great. The alcohol is great. The environment is great. It's a really neat place. It is William Price Distilling. It's right here in Garden Oaks. Check it out. We'll be here till 4, Blitz till 7, ESPN 97.5.
Bag it up. I like the way you work it. No diggity. I got the bag it up. Bag it up, girl. I like the way you...
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from William Price Distilling Company. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5,
powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back as we're continuing to roll, wrapping up hour number 2, 3-hour program right here on the Press Box. An old face in a new place, my man P. Randizzle in the hizzy.
It's been a while.
When he is here, I am better there, wherever we may be. And today we are at William Price Distilling. It is always good to see the loyals coming out and supporting. Dr. Dre always has to try and dirtify the fact that he is wearing one of the most obnoxiously awful hats possible, short of Lederhosen, which he wears around the house.
Normally don't see him in hats. He's always rocking the bald dome is what he normally rocks.
You know
the
that
dome piece.
I don't know if you know this or not, but in old Sesame Street lore, Bert and Ernie, Dre was actually the model for Bert. So... That's how that came about. That's why he actually grew the goatee, because he didn't like the fact that people were making the comparison too easily. So we roll through the second hour of the program. We've had a lot of fun. We've given you a little bit of the backstory of what is a very, very cool place here at William Price Distilling. We talked a lot about the Astros, a little bit about the other two playoff series, and, of course, the Rockets, which have some major decisions on their hands. The Chicago pre-draft clinic going on right now. So they're checking everything. The pre-draft camp, they're checking out all the prospects. They're weighing their options. There's Woj and others saying, including Rafael Stone, with audio that he has given to the media, stating that whether they make the pick or potentially trade it, I think it would be catastrophic to this franchise to trade the pick. I really do.
And you've been on record saying that. I'm okay with the rebuild process. Look, you're talking about a team that hasn't missed the playoffs. That was the first time that they missed the playoffs in years. Look, nobody wants to be a part of growing pains. But don't make any trades unless it absolutely makes this team better and cuts the rebuild time, you know, to something reasonable. You know? Like, I think the best that you can ask for, and it doesn't mean it's going to happen, is 3 years. That's the best that you can ask for.
I think that's fair.
You can't ask for anything better, more less than that, right? But it could take 4, 5, or 6 years. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But I don't think you can expect them to do anything within two seasons and be like, all right, this team is a playoff team that's actually going to make a difference. No, I don't think so. I think you're asking for too much at that point for any general manager. I mean, just considering what they lost. That's just too much.
I look at it, and I think you're right. I think it's fair. But I think that, like I said, I think if ego gets involved in this and Rafael Stone finally figures out what you and I have been talking about, and that is that he may just be a short-term bridge gap GM, that he'll pull a Bill O'Brien, and he doesn't care about the future. He doesn't have time to waste, so he's not going to – he may not be around, so why would he want to wait around for a Mobley to develop or a Green to develop or some of the younger guys to develop? And he'll look at – and weigh the option of, if I don't have Cunningham, Suggs is my closest guy to get me where I need to go quickly. And if it isn't Suggs, then I may try and make that trade, and I don't care how much money you have to take back. And I don't care if it's Ben Simmons that he can't shoot, or whoever the case the other player might be that's out there. I think it's a massive problem, and I think that's something where Tillman and his son Patrick are going to have more of a hands-on approach, unlike Cal with the Texans, and say, Bill, this is what you want to do, which seems to be as much up for the betterment of you as it is for the franchise. It's so critical what the Rockets do with these three first-round picks that it can't be as Stone wants, him and no one else chiming in on the decision. I think the family has to be a part of this.
No, and they probably will be. I mean, I think it was pretty evident that the son was going to be involved. I think Tad Brown was pretty transparent about that, I think,
yeah.
For the most part.
I thought you were going to say Tad had to be involved because –
No, I think he was being transparent about the fact that he knew his son was going to be, Fertitta's son
right.
in particular,
Patrick.
Was going to be more involved. Patrick, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he said that from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And they said that he would stop working at the end of the year to my knowledge. Or no, I think you said that he's done, right?
Tad's done. He's already gone.
Yeah. But he was done before the, like.
But you talked about it yesterday, and I completely. Silas has to be involved in this decision. They have to.
If they don't believe he's a long-term solution either, then they probably won't involve him.
But, Nick, even if he's not in the long term, unlike Stone, he's experienced. And look what he did with Luka. And look the guys that he's worked with throughout his career.
Great player.
To where he can help you talk it through in terms of which the best player is for this franchise. He's going to be here probably for 2 more years because that's his contract.
Right.
So he's going to be here long enough. So you want his input because he's worked with young players. He's also been able to figure out what it takes to be a good young player. So you want his input. But this is where the family has to get involved so you aren't Cal McNair. So you aren't watching it from a Texans perspective going, well, Cal somehow just let Bill have the keys and run with it, and he traded D-Hop for nothing. And he screwed this up by doing all these different moves that Nick Caserio had to try and undo this offseason with the bad salaries and the bad contracts to so many players and all the things that he did to give away what the franchise valued the most. That's where the Fertittas can't let that happen. They got to use that as an example of what not to do and then do the exact opposite so the Rockets aren't in a deeper hole 4 more years.
Yeah, well, and that's probably what they're going to end up doing because, look, Silas, yeah, you're right. They probably should include Silas even if he is a short-term option. But I think the other thing is Silas doesn't have, like, bad intentions. He's not really combative. But he's also been on record saying, you know what, he didn't appreciate. Like when they found out that P.J. Tucker mm-hmm. wasn't going to show up and he didn't really know that he wasn't going to play. And he found he was really nice about it. He said that was disappointing. But it was kind of a call out of the front office where, there, you know, it wasn't a rough call out, but it was a call out. So I think he'll be vocal enough to voice his opinion and what this team needs. But he is a super nice guy. Mm-hmm. So it really does make me wonder how involved and who's really going to make the decisions. Is it going to be Tillman, Patrick? Is it going to be Rafael? Is Silas really going to get some genuine input that they're actually going to take? It's going to be interesting to see.
Best case scenario for the Rockets. Silas is involved. Chuck Hayes, Jimmy Paulus, Eli Wittes, the guys that are doing it on a daily basis, been there and have done that for several years here. Their input is not only just heard, but it's impactful because it's being used. That's where I think Tillman and or Patrick come in and go, I'm going to listen to everything, and before we decide what we are going to do, we're going to have input.
Yeah. Look, the other thing is, if Silas is not really being included in a lot of the discussions and they decide to make a decision without him and then he goes to Toyota Center and learns about this, I don't see him being the guy that comes to the media and making it public. I see that guy just swallowing his pride and trying to deal with it behind closed doors as opposed to making it public. So, and I think they kind of know that. And well, I think they can take advantage of that to a certain extent.
I think they really have to, because I think that, like you said, it's the difference between a 7-year process and possibly a lot quicker. So I don't care if they trade the 23-24 type picks, because I don't think those have as much value. But I think that 2-pick has so much value right now,
yeah,
that you have to handle it with kid gloves and realize this is a franchise-making
This decision
move.
Could impact the team for the foreseeable future. Like, it will. But we don't know if it's going to impact it for the better or for the – is it going to be a longer rebuilding process because of this decision,
right,
is it going to be a shorter
but
one?
But also it impacts the business side as well. That's why the Vertitas also have to be involved, because if they misstep –
the revenue?
If they, well, misstep, season tickets go down.
Yeah.
Sponsorships go down. 100. Merchandise go down.
Couldn't
right?
agree
but,
more.
But if you get the guy right and everybody wants his jersey and everybody wants to see it, you know, you think about when Ja came into the league. Memphis, but you didn't want to miss a Memphis game because this dude
because
could put
Ja.
A highlight reel.
Because of Ja, yeah.
So you got to get this kind of pick right, and that's why it's essential they get as much input as possible, because you know what? You never get penalized for getting too much information. What you can get penalized for is if you don't want the people that you trust, supposedly trust the most, to give you any information.
Right.
So that's hour number two of the program. We're rolling through it. We still got hour number three to go. So that means there's plenty more opportunities for you guys to join us, and then come join us here at the William Price Distillery, because when you do that, you're going to find out Fred and AJ and the Blitz are going to be here as well. But before we do any of that, we realize we've had some rainy weather. If you had a leaky roof or you want to put a new roof on your house or your business, there's only one place to go. It's Fitz Roofing. Simply put, Corey and his staff do a fantastic job. They're locally owned and operated, and they're going to make sure you're taken care of. They have the best ratings, they have the best warranties, and the best products in the business. And they do more than just roofing. They also do home repairs, fences for your yard, and so many other things. And the great thing is they'll start the process off by doing something for free. A free, no-obligation inspection. It costs you nothing. They come to you. They tell you what they can do. And if you want them to come back, you just book the appointment. And before, during, and after the sale, they take care of you every step of the way. They're doing great things. Check them out at FITZRoofing.com. Or better yet, give them a call. 832-521-3001. It's Fitz Roofing. Making a difference one home at a time. Everybody talks too much. It started with a whisper.
ESPN 97.5.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.